page 323 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God and Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, our most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast given unto us thy servant's grace, by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity, we beseech thee that thou wouldest keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see thee in thy one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit livest and reignest one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Our first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty. And then the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 29. We'll read responsively by whole verse. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees rise, and stretches the forest bare.
And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his blessing, the people the blessing of peace. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. That you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Trinity Sunday, today, is one of those Sundays that even the most seasoned preachers would just as soon skip. Trinity Sunday in Year B of the Revised Common Lectionary is perhaps the most difficult to attempt to gel in any reasonable or logical way. If the opening collect isn't vague enough with praying to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. If that line isn't vague enough, we have three readings that don't really speak to the Trinitarian nature of God at all, at least not in any bold and cogent way. The Trinitarian nature of God, three persons in one substance, is something that is held gingerly. To an analytical and scientific mind, it's much more like a bubble than a steel crashing ball. Christians have been trying to wrap our minds around this concept since it was first put into motion with the original Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit made its wild and vivid appearance 10 days after the Son, the second person of the Trinity, had ascended. When attempting to explain the Trinity, something that in reality we can never do, we're left with analogies and metaphors, explaining something that we vaguely experience in the same way that we do our God in three persons. St. Patrick, you remember, used a clover, three leaves, one plant. A priest friend of mine did a bang-up job with a children's sermon by cracking three eggs into a bowl and then stirring them together to make something like a scrambled egg. Three eggs, one omelet. Still, these are not the Trinity. And pushed too far, they fall apart. That's always been the case. And it's why, at least in part, most of the heresies of the early church involved the nature of the Trinity, or at least one of the persons, Son mostly or Holy Spirit. God somehow seems to be the person of the Trinity that is at the least risk of being misunderstood. But even saying that, that God is a person, speaks to misunderstanding. We just don't have the words to describe what we refer to as the three in one and one in three. William Young's description of the Trinity in his book, The Shack, has drawn much reaction. There are those who are drawn to a large, black, ever-cooking, singing-in-the-kitchen kind of God, and a blue jean carpenter Jesus, and an Asian, shimmering, effervescent, and incandescent female Holy Spirit. There are others who find this real-life, almost homey description a little too comfortable, a description of a God who was and is to come, who created all, sustains all, and is all. And that's okay, because when you're dealing with something that is ultimately indescribable, there's no way that we can all agree on the description. And that's what we have again. That's all we have, a description. Even then, we probably have a more of a description of our experience of the Trinity, the triune nature of God, than we do a description of the actual persons, especially in a matter-type form. Certainly, Jesus has been the most physically depicted and most often ways that are highly unlikely at best. We can be fairly certain that Jesus is not a chubby-cheeked, blonde-haired, blue-eyed little white baby. But that representation is also not inaccurate. Jesus was one of us. And certainly the artist who depicted him in unlikely physical ways, given the part in the world in which he was born, pictured him as looking much like the people that they encountered on a daily basis. And that is very important. Jesus looked like us. Jesus was like us. Jesus is someone who can relate to us and we to him. That's very important. But what is it about the other two parts of this threefold mystery? God is a long-haired, bearded old man. The Holy Spirit is a dove, wind, fire. Those descriptions and those images are just too far out there for those of us who think of ourselves as logical, intelligent, thinking, reasonable people. You can't really expect us to latch on to that. It's just too far out, too unexplainable. I need concrete things, you might say. I need to be able to work it out in my mind, to wrap my mind and my head around it. I need to know how this Trinity thing really works. My first response to that is, no, you don't. You don't need to know, and you're not going to know. Not in any way that you can map out, like a breakdown of a chemical compound. God doesn't work like that. We can't combine a couple of Holy Spirit molecules with some Jesus molecules and bind that to a couple of God molecules and end up with a Trinity compound. If we could, there would be no mystery and no faith. And if there's anything that Christianity requires, it's faith. It doesn't have explanations. When we find ourselves demanding explanations, we have moved outside of Christianity. Last month, actually just a couple of weeks ago, Rob Morpeth came over on a Wednesday night and talked some about quantum physics and faith. And thankfully, Rob is a very skillful person in putting some of these terms on the most basic level so that people like me can grab some of what he's talking about. There was much about what he said that resonated with me, but the first thing that struck a chord was the concept of both and. It's a hugely scriptural concept. Jesus refers to it with great frequency. He talks about the kingdom of heaven being here now, but not quite yet. We know that we're living in the in-between time, the time in which sin and death have been conquered. But at the same time, sin and death are still very much present. In Rob's conversation, the both and referred to light being both particle and wave, something that cannot be proven by scientists. Scientists cannot capture this and validate it through scientific methods of testing how it is so. But they know by the effects of light, the after effects, that it's both a particle and wave. For the very first time in a long, long, long time, scientists and theologians are using some of the same words. Words that indicate unprovability, but certainty. The point to experience rather than proof. At another time, we could go on and on and on in discussion of this merging of scientific and religious language having to do with light, the first thing that God introduced to separate the darkness and the chaos. Still, we find ourselves dealing with the unexplainable, with ideas and concepts that we just can't wave away as simply as 2 + 2 = 4, or as difficult and complexly as the theory of relativity. We're dealing with God, with the Trinity, with the source of light, the light and the flame that continues to burn in the world. The best we can do is experience the working of God in our own lives. We have the experience of God the Father who creates and recreates, who gave each and every one of us the very gift of life. We know perhaps best the experience of Jesus the Son, who was God's own experience of full humility, of living the same very life that we were given. And we experience the Holy Spirit working in our world today, strengthening us to meet the struggles that we face, giving us the encouragement we need to continue to do God's work in the world, supporting us in times of deep pain, and going along with us to meet each day of this journey with all the joys and pain and thrills and trials that go along with life lived in abundance. We can't explain the Trinity and how the three persons of one substance actually and factually works. No one can. We're not meant to explain that. That's not our job. That is not our role. Our role is to experience the Trinity, the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to live in that love, to appreciate and relish that love, and to spread it to all we come in contact with. We cannot bind the molecular disposition of the Trinity, but we, like St. Patrick, can bind ourselves to that Trinity and live in godly love. Amen. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being of the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world.
Truth of life.
Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought or in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy graces, to the glory of thy name.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I'm so right. We're so right.
Welcome you all here on this beautiful sunny day. I'm glad you all chose to worship with us here this morning. If you are visiting, please do sign the book in the back of the church so that we will know how to get in touch with you. I promise I will not harass you, but I would like to talk to you and let you know all of the wonderful opportunities we have here at Grace. So please do speak to me and sign the book if you are visiting with us here today. Also, pay attention to all the announcements on the back of our order of service. Crossroads, our bookstore, will be open for a half an hour after this service, so you better rush on over there and do your shopping, because half an hour is not very long. And they would love for you to come see all the wonderful things they have to offer there. Do sign up for Vacation Bible School if you haven't signed up to help out yet, to bring something or assist in some way. That's coming up quickly. So, and we do have flower open dates on the back here. I have some other announcements, and then Catherine's got one announcement on our wonderful Haiti mission fundraiser. A couple of things. With it being summer, our hours, people are kind of in and out at different times, and we don't have as much of a full staff because people are on vacation and those sorts of things. So if you come to the church, to the office wing especially, for a reunion group or you have a meeting or whatever, please, if you come in the door and unlock it on the way in, when you go out, be sure you lock it back. We've found doors open, and Nate's doing a really great job of checking them. But on occasion, they get overlooked. So if everyone will be a little bit more responsible about locking the door back after you go out, that would be very helpful. Also, we have a very special, do we still have the special opportunity to serve in making a costume for Vacation Bible School? If you are a seamstress, or if you know a seamstress who could make a dog costume, we have all the fabric here, we have the pattern, we have everything you need to do this, we just don't have the actual sewing ability. So, if you have the sewing ability, please give Christina Dorn a call at the church and let her know. We need this for by June the 28th, so be thinking hard and quickly about that. All right, Catherine. Hey, T.
Okay. Last Sunday, Matt and I were letting go for a trip, and y'all had a really good response this week. The first Matt took me out, so we received money first week that showed last week, and that was $495.48. So the goal that was this week was put down, we had a very good response. About 67 people brought over, and I'm not sure how many good luck bad guys put down. So this week was collected $1,694.
In your mouth. So we're on our way to Haiti for mission work at the end of the summer. And
so that's a total of, if we just a good gold and so, and it can be white gold or yellow gold. And if you're not sure that what you have is gold, we have ways of checking it. And we'll check it out. So please, those of you who haven't said, I would like to make 10 people out of everybody here. Yeah, I'm gonna flash you. So I know everybody has something that's broken, you know, a one earring, one gold earring, a broken bracelet, or whatever. So
the announcements will continue until you bring that gold in. Bring the gold in.
People have brought in, you know, brick work, which is kind of gross, but it's gold. Right back here with the signing book is. I put the box there. It'll be there on Sunday. But if you bring it through the week, turn it in off. Thank you very much. After hours.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Page 333. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. For with thy co-eternal Son and Holy Spirit, thou art one God, one Lord, in trinity of persons and in unity of substance. And we celebrate the one and equal glory of thee, O Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
thank you.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for you and for many for the remission of sin. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this, our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Of God, for the people of God. Take them and remember that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.